Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs. I am your host this episode, Todd Anderson, and I'm here with Steve Skelton.
Hi.
Steve Falk is not here because he is in production for some show called You're the Worst.
He's got a job.
He can't be here.
Proper job.
Yeah. So as has been the case these last five summers, it's been five, right?
Yeah.
We're doing bacons. You guys got to deal with bacons. This bacon...
But this summer, I have to insist.
Yeah.
Insist. This summer's bacon series must have nothing to do with Steven Seagal.
That's totally fair.
I still have not forgiven you.
I know. You're still mad. I will not make you watch
Or the audience.
Yeah. I will not make you watch, I think it's called The China Salesman or something like that, with on the box is Mike Tyson.
That's like a discarded Arthur Miller, like, first draft play. It's like, China, nah, too specific. Just more general. Just a general sales. I won't be specific about what he sells in the title.
Is he selling the country China? Is he selling China, the glassware?
Or is he just sad about being a salesman?
In the 80s, I feel like they called cocaine China or something like that.
China White. Is that cocaine or is that heroin?
Heroin, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't use the heavy drugs.
Yeah, no.
I use the light drugs heavily.
No, you're a good boy.
Yeah, yeah. I keep it above board.
Nothing untoward about your lifestyle.
Yeah, I saw that this China, I think it's called China Salesman, but anyways,
I thought you were going to say China Syndrome.
Oh, I love China Syndrome. I'll watch that, but Seagal's not in it.
No.
It's Mike Tyson on the cover and Steven Seagal.
Wow, you're extra selling it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the Expendables with a bunch of rapists. We were going to get letters. Sorry. But apparently I read a review and they're both...
No. You want to really get letters? I love The Last Jedi. It's so cool what they did with Luke. And I really like all of the strong women characters.
Yeah. My only problem with The Last Jedi was there was too many male characters.
There were just way too many white male characters.
I did not care for it. So the review of the Mike Tyson Seagal thing said they're collectively, the two of them are collectively in the movie for about 5 minutes.
That seems about right.
And then the rest of it is
And Seagal got $1 million for it.
Oh, sure, yeah. I don't know why Mike Tyson...
Or whatever $1 million in rubles is.
I don't know. I don't know much about that Russian money exchange thing. So, hey, let's talk, before we get into this, I'll tell the people.
Yeah.
We've decided to
tell the people.
Well, I got to tell the people
right
now.
Let's quit dilly-dallying.
Yeah, we're wasting time. So what we're going to do is a cold reading challenge.
Yeah.
Of movie monologues.
Oh, good.
That we've selected for each other.
Good.
We're both going into this blind. So that's going to be very exciting. But before we do, let's talk about our movie pass adventures.
Okay.
So if you don't know what movie pass is, it's this movie pass that you can get for $10 a month and you can see a movie a day, unlimited. And it's going to destroy the movie industry as we know it. Actually, probably.
No, it's going to go out of business.
It's going to go out of
business. Yeah, it'll totally, because it's not making any money. And then you'll have to join Cinema.
Right.
Which is spelled in a way that makes it sound like it's a porn site. And then when that goes out of business, then isn't like AMC or one of the theater chains, aren't they starting up their
AMC's
their
doing
version of it?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the only, I think a movie chain was the only thing that's going to stick around.
Well, that makes more sense because they make most of their money off of the concessions.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
So
if they can get more people, they won't be operating at this insane loss. But while we have MoviePass.
Right.
Because
you're a card-carrying member.
I go to way more movies. I haven't been to this many movies since I was in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to movies constantly. And what have you seen on your MoviePass card recently?
I don't have a MoviePass card.
Oh, no.
But I did go to the movies.
Oh, what'd you see?
And I saw Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to see it, but Hillary and Colby did. They loved it.
And I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun. It was a good sequel. Very solid. I made the mistake of going to a cheaper theater than going to an Arclight.
Oh.
Because I didn't feel like paying $20. So I went to the theater by the Pineapple Hill.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah. They had Incredibles 2 right away. Oh, yeah. Cuz they usually do like second run.
Yeah. No. They got more first run stuff now, but it's one of the cheap theaters, so it's like $9, but like the screens are so shitty that it's like the I don't know if they bought cheaper digital projectors that were designed for smaller screens.
Oh.
But the projection is that you get the screen door effect from the digital projection in this, because the screens
projectors so are
so shitty. And
the screens can be shitty too.
Yeah, well, I think this is a combo. Yeah. And then on top of that, it's the projector is also, it was really clear, like you've seen all the jaggies on the animation, or so it wasn't not interlaced, but more aliased. The aliasing, there was like heavy aliasing of the animated material, which was kind of like, why didn't I just fucking go to ArcLight?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to pay the extra money.
Yeah,
I'm actually lucky that all the theaters in Simi Valley, except for special screenings and all that, they take the pass. And the theaters here, there's one that's kind of low rent, but the other two are really nice.
All have like at least decent screens.
They all have refurbished screens, and then, one has the reclining thing.
But even like some of the theaters like that did like a refurbishment, like the Cinemark that's up in the valley by me, that's like on like Coldwater and Victory.
Oh yeah.
Those screens suck too, but they have the really nice comfy chairs. But they have the exact same kind of like crappy screen doory.
So they only refurbished their seats.
It seems like it. Yeah, like the interior. So you got the nice big, like really like comfy bucket leg rest, seats. But the screen's awful.
That sucks. The Regal up here is great. Yeah. I love it. And then we got a Studio Movie Grill, which
I've been to that one.
The screens and sound is great in those, and the seats are pretty comfortable. They don't recline.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with the Studio Movie Grill is their food is, I mean, it's not bad. It's just fried food. It's just.
Well, it's junk food. It's like a diner.
It's like a diner.
It's like a.
You can get a salad, I guess.
Yeah, but it's like a. It's not like a. It's like a little bit better than like a Denny's or a Steak and Shake.
It's better than that.
It's fine.
It's fine, but it's not. It would be nicer if they had a more.
Yeah,
interesting
it's not like.
Menu.
Yeah, it's not really great.
Yeah, exactly. That what I saw up there recently when the movie pass was the dinosaur show.
Oh, the Jurassic Park. Here it is again. More dinosaurs, you
there's
guys.
There's the dinosaurs and the Chris Pratts and the Dallas Howards.
Look at everybody run from the dinosaurs again.
Yeah, the dinosaurs are, and then there's a volcano. There's all kinds
There's a volcano on that one?
Well, will it ruin it for you?
No, I didn't like the last one, so
this one I liked more than Jurassic World.
Okay.
And here's why. And I can imagine people have a problem with it. But I liked it. The setup is the volcano on the dinosaur Jurassic World Island is going to blow up.
There was a volcano on the...
No, but now there's a volcano on it. I don't remember them talking about...
in any of the previous Jurassic Park movies, either the park island or like the staging island. I don't recall anybody saying, oh, by the way... There's a volcano here that... I mean, obviously they couldn't say that because then you'd have to have the volcano explode in that movie.
Right.
Otherwise, you're fucking up the whole premise of Chekhov's gun.
Right.
But with dinosaurs.
Yes. But they... So, there was a volcano apparently the whole time.
that's the twist.
Right. The twist is there was a volcano.
The volcano was inside us the whole time.
Well, sometimes volcanoes can sneak up on you.
Like in Los Angeles. And if Tommy Lee Jones is on the case.
Yeah, he'll take care of it.
I'm assuming he was a cop in that. I can't remember. Or was he a firefighter?
He was a disaster guy.
He was like a city disaster guy.
Him and Don Cheadle were in like a room looking for emergencies.
Yeah, they were...
Looking for earthquakes.
Yeah, but they were like either like California State or LA County disaster dudes, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They were very intense about their work. But anyway, so...
It's weird because Tommy Lee Jones usually has such a light touch.
Oh, yeah. He really... Especially the older he gets, the lighter...
The more loosey-goosey.
More spry and fun and full of life. He really is. So anyway, the thing is they go to rescue dinosaurs.
Right.
Even though for a second Jeff Goldblum shows up and goes, why don't you just let them die?
From the island.
Yeah, yeah. They go to the island to get the dinosaurs off the island.
And this is the park island.
Yeah, the Jurassic World park.
Okay.
So.
Which is the same island as the Jurassic Park park.
I can't remember. I feel like it was a new island. Jurassic World was a new island.
I thought it was just the same. Did they call it? I thought they just rebranded Jurassic Park as Jurassic World.
Then maybe. I don't. That's neither here nor there.
No, this is really important.
The important thing is they go to the island to get the dinosaurs off because the volcano is going to go off.
Oh, right. And then,
but then through a set of bizarre, nefarious circumstances, the dinosaurs get taken to a house. An old creepy house, and so it becomes
how
like
many dinosaurs are in this house?
All of them, and they get out.
The house
that's what it is. It's like the second half of the movie is like,
is this like the Winchester house or
no? It's not a Winchester, it's a giant mansion owned by the white bearded guy's partner. That I didn't know he had until this. He's like, yeah, we were partners the whole time. And it's James Cromwell. And
James Cromwell? Okay, that's giant, a new
his giant mansion. And then the dinosaurs all wind up there. So then the second
half... How many dinosaurs are there?
There's a buttload. And some of them aren't dinosaurs. They're like... They're hybrid dinosaurs.
Right, because regular dinosaurs aren't good enough.
Right. So anyway, the second half is like... it's like a thrill house.
They're just in the house?
They're in the house.
It's just people just being chased through a house by dinosaurs?
Yeah, and they jump out of the shadows because it's an old creepy mansion, you know?
That sounds really dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb, but so was Jurassic Park, the movie.
But at least they had a whole park to run around in there.
I know. Well, you get to see
a volcano. I'm assuming like they didn't save the brontosauruses.
Oh, yeah, they saved all of them.
Now, for fuck's sake.
So they saved all the dinosaurs. But anyway, that was that. I also saw Hotel Artemis.
Oh, how was that?
It was fun. It was a fun B movie.
I still want to see that.
It was very silly, but
that's all I asked.
Totally enjoyable. Yeah. I think
I know how to gauge my expectations for Hotel Artemis.
Yeah, and unlike Elysium's Jodie Foster choices. That were like,
oh yeah, her weird.
When you reverse engineer your confusion of her accent, you're like, well, actually, it makes sense because she's from all these different places, I guess.
But it's still weird.
But it still was distracting.
It's super distracting.
Yeah. But and she does a weird thing, old lady thing in this. Yeah. But it wasn't distracting. It was kind of fun and funny because the movie has a lot of tongue in cheek.
I think that's a good point though, because also in like an Elysium making such an extreme choice like that. For a movie that was taking itself very seriously is also what made that clash, that choice
right,
clash.
But right.
In like an Artemis, where it's more broad and more, kind of a pulpy genre.
Yeah.
Then it's gonna play better.
Yeah. And it was fun and the cast was really good. So I saw that. I saw Hereditary, which is just the Babadook all over again.
Oh boy.
The critics love it because it's a slow-ass dysfunctional family drama with like occasional horror elements and cliches shoehorned in so they can call it a genre picture. Why the critics always cream over these movies is beyond me. Yes, is the cast good? Yes, absolutely. But a half hour into this alleged horror movie, and you're listening to the score and it's overbearing like creepiness.
Yeah.
And a half hour in, like, and at first it's effective. You're like, ooh, it's creepy. What a weird family. And then a half hour in, nothing horror has happened.
Yeah.
And the score has remained relentlessly creepy. And then it just becomes a laughable annoyance.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, critics don't know how to deal with the horror genre at all.
No, they
again,
don't.
It's it was a huge critical success. And
same problem.
After the opening bit that was cribbed from the miniseries... it was just a series of random jump scares.
Yeah.
That's all. That was the only horror element that was employed.
And Hereditary doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
And I mean, until like the last act, suddenly it's a horror movie. But at the last act, it's not a horror movie. It's eight horror movies you've seen before jammed together. Yeah. It's like, come on, you guys. That's not that good. And then the other one I just saw was Tag, which...
Oh, that's the one with the fake Jeremy Renner arms.
Yes. What was the deal with that?
He like, apparently, like, during... Either before they started shooting or at some point when they had to do a bunch of more reshoots... In between, I don't know if it was related to the movie or just a random accident, but apparently Renner broke both of his arms doing something. I don't know if it was like a skiing accident or an onset that I can't remember. But then, so they had to CG, like they'd put like green sleeves on his his arms, and then in some shots in the movie, you can actually see like a brace on one of his arms.
Oh, I didn't even I wasn't looking for it, so I didn't really notice. I'll say this about Tag. It's not unpleasant, but it's not very funny. You know what I mean?
That would be a really poor tagline for them to have used.
Yeah, no, that's not
tag.
A good...
Tag! It's not unpleasant. It's also not very funny.
But it's not like... I didn't get bored and I didn't get aggravated. I was like, oh, this is cute and sweet. And sometimes there were jokes. Hannibal Buress was very funny. Yeah.
The trailer to me looked like it's the studio notes were to focus more on developing the story than on adding jokes.
Yeah, that's true, and it also it suffered a bit from like modern day studio comedy peter outs at the end of scenes where like characters they've gotten through the plot. And then they tag like some improv-y,
right.
You know, maybe semi-meta
to try and button the scene.
But nobody really is committed to any of those buttons. So like so many scenes like trail off with people trading ad-libs that stop being funny before the scene is over. It's, I don't know.
So it's also, it's like, you know, you could have cut that a little more judiciously.
Yeah. Just not enough jokes.
Yeah.
And it was too, and the other thing that happens is like, when they do stuff that's like an action comedy, and they're not going far enough over the top, like a 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Then the quote unquote slapsticky stuff, I mean, it's so violent and looks so harmful.
It becomes so out of place.
Yeah, like a guy gets hit by a log. What do they call those things that swing from trees? What's that?
A swinging log.
He gets like hit by a giant fucking tree that's swinging down from other trees.
That would kill you. Yeah.
And then he's like just in the car riding.
No, there's like
okay.
A couple of those, like the, even though the, was it the, the Neighbors movies,
yeah,
had that. They were mostly, you know, were playing with real world physics within the comedy, and then once in a while would do something like, you know, someone would, you know, fly out the front window of a car, you know, and roll down the street, and then get up and go, I'm drunk, you know, and wander, and like things that like, no, that. Actually, I'm really alarmed about that right now, because up until the first hour of this movie, it's just been a real world that you pointed out to me. This is a real world we're living in, and the physics of the real world apply, because we haven't established we're goofy and over the top.
Right.
And cartoonish. We've been playing this real up to this point.
And that was the thing, like the slapstick, like, and people like,
yeah, tonally,
like
just goes,
jumping out of through glass windows, falling off of houses, falling off of fire escapes onto dumpsters, bouncing off the parking lots. It was like, if you're going to like do your slapstick this big, then you should, to totally match it, whoever that happens to should be injured
now
for the rest of the movie.
A great joke for a movie like this to pull is to do their comedy in the first hour just like a real world, everything's, you know, realistic. And that we're dealing with physically realistic, and then to do one of these moments where somebody runs through a plate glass window and the character then immediately has to be taken to the hospital and is not seen for the rest of the movie.
Right.
They're out.
Because they bled out.
Yeah, because they're like in a coma and it's very serious.
It's like sort of a take on The Big Sick. So, all right, so that was my MoviePass adventures. Let's do... our monologue cold reading challenge. How would you like to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. Hang on one
second.
Oh, wow.
You got like big print, too.
Well, I did.
I only have small print.
Well, I'm glad I have my glasses.
You're a professional.
Here's your first one.
Oh, and you're not even going to tell me what it is?
No, you have to do it, and then you have
Oh, but then I thought we were... Oh, you had to guess the movie?
Yeah.
My pages have the movie written on them.
Oh.
You didn't explain...
I did. I said, well, guess.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Can you cross out the movie on them, is it all over the place?
I don't know. I might be able to...
Wait till we get to my turn.
Ah, Jesus.
All right, so just go.
All right. I flunk English. I'm out of here. Kiss college goodbye. I don't know what I'll do. Dad'll be pissed off. Mom'll be heartbroken. If I play my cards right, I get maybe a 6-month grace period, and then I gotta get a job. And you know what that means? That's right. They start me at the drive-up window, and I gradually work my way up from shakes to burgers. Then one day my lucky break comes. The French fry guy dies, and they offer me the job. But the day I'm supposed to start, some men come by in a black Lincoln Continental and tell me I can make a quick $300 just for driving a van back from Mexico. When I get out of jail, I'm 36 years old, living in a flop house, no job, no home, no upward mobility, very few teeth. And then one day they find me, face down, talking to the gutter, clutching a bottle of paint thinner. And why? Because you wouldn't help me in English now. You were too busy to help me. Too busy to help a drowning man.
Oh, that was a nice build on that. Nice dramatic build. Did you recognize it?
I do recognize it. I'm trying to remember. This feels like a John Hughes or...
Close.
Or...
Not quite.
Fast Times?
No.
Damn it. Shit. I recognize
it. Do you know who the actor is?
It's...
I'll give you a hint. It's a Rob Reiner film.
Wait a minute. Is this Summer School?
No.
Damn it. Which one is it?
No. That's a Carl Reiner film.
All right. All right. I'm in the family.
You're in the ballpark. You're in the right era.
Is it Stand By Me?
Well, you're getting so much closer because the actor who delivered that monologue was in Stand By Me, briefly.
Briefly? Rob Reiner.
Only in Stand By Me, only in flashbacks.
Oh, fuck.
It should have been you, Gordy.
God, I can't think of...
John Cusack.
Oh!
He's the actor.
Oh! Okay, so this is either One Crazy Summer or The Sure Thing.
The Sure Thing,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's when...
Is that Holland?
No, who wrote it?
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote The Sure Thing, but Rob Reiner directed it. I don't know who wrote it. That's a good question.
Hold on.
Can you...
Damn it, because I also have the character names on here, too. Let me see if I can fold it back enough.
I loved...
I really was not paying attention to your premise for this. I thought we were just going to hand monologues and do our versions.
No, this will be fine. It'll be fine. That was very good, Skeleton. I'm giving you 4 stars.
Right, I didn't realize we were getting stars for this.
I give you stars. You can't give me stars.
Yeah, I'm not qualified. You don't give me fucking stars. All right.
There's so many good quotes in The Sure Thing. And there's another good speech. That was the other one I was looking at. Was the thanks for the ride.
I've successfully folded the page back for you.
Okay, here I go. I live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street on the 11th floor. My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old. I believe in taking care of myself and a balanced diet and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser, then a honey almond body scrub, and on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub. Then, I apply an herb mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion. There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman. Some kind of abstraction, but there is no real me. Only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there. Wow, that's quite a mama. I'm not really sure. I don't recognize it, but I'm going to guess...
With the name, the character name, I thought...
Is it American Psycho?
Yeah, it's American Psycho.
See, I only saw that movie once when I was in college, and I didn't like it, so I didn't remember the character name.
I think, like, for me, American Psycho is an example, a very rare example of, I think, the movie's better than the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because... the book I thought was dumb, but I enjoyed the movie, and
it's that's like, the way I felt about Tank. Book was garbage.
Also, Die Hard.
True.
That's a monologue where he's doing that whole montage that's going through the whole routine.
Uh-huh.
The whole time, and I did that one just because I couldn't find the Huey Lewis in the News monologue before he axes.
Oh, in...
In American Psycho. He also has an extended monologue about his pop culture choices before he like, axes somebody,
which is pretty good. Like, that's pretty awesome. All right. I got your second one.
All right.
Oh. I imagine you'll get this right away.
Oh, my next one that you're getting, you're going to get immediately. Okay. Because, again, I was not doing this right. I just went. What's a monologue I'd like to hear Todd do? Oh, this one. He'll like this.
I picked one. Yeah, my last one is similar to that.
All right. The question is, do I have a God complex? Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted to a top medical school. Or if you have the vaguest clue about how talented someone must be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I'm board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England. I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis. And you go to church, and with any luck, you might even win that annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like being second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
Nice. And you were way more subtle and understated
than Alec Baldwin. is it Malice?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. It's one of my favorite cheesy thrillers.
It isn't like it's a real.
It's a fun garbage twists that make no sense, and Alec Baldwin is ludicrously evil. And
well, and that's like, yeah, it's like a, that's like a, was a, like a perfect role for him back in the day. Like, now he's so obnoxious. It's like, I don't even really enjoy seeing him anymore, and I really loved him in 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Like, he was comically brilliant.
Yeah, he was really good, but it, in a weird way, it kind of wrecked him, because he only does comedies.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing, because it's like, you know, he's, and it is, it did wreck him, because also, like, back in the day, back in the Malice era, yeah, he was a much more rounded actor, and was a good dramatic actor, and compelling, like, I mean, you know, Hunt for Red October... The first Ryan, man. I mean, that's...
He was really good as Jack Ryan.
Yeah, and he was really great in that, and it's a big, you know, pop culture movie, and that's, you know...
And he was also actually doing really kind of fun comedic work, too.
Yeah.
Like in Miami Blues and stuff like that. It just wasn't like it is now. It's sort of over-the-top, grotesque kind of performance.
Yeah, he was kind of almost like... subtler back then. He was almost kind of more kind of like the Chris Pratt of...
Yeah.
You know, the... Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, that's a good...
You know, that kind of, you know, you know, splitting back and forth and being kind of generally charming, but also, you know, pretty talented.
Now he just does Trump, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to have a talk show or something?
Oh, God, please. You know, that's... No, it's... He's... Yeah.
Because of his successful podcast?
I wish we could just go back in time and then bring, the late 80s Alec Baldwin up. Although, he was probably a jerk then, too.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's a jerk. Just because somebody is very left-leaning doesn't mean they're not an asshole.
Yeah.
That's important to remember.
Okay. You'll get this immediately.
All right, cool.
There's no... I don't even know why I bothered folding the page over.
Right. All right. If this isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got, God damn it! Drinks a glass of eggnog. It's good. It's good. It's good. Hey! If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here, tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-leaking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol? Oh, I always screwed up the worm-headed. That's one of my favorites. And that's a sequel monologue.
Yeah, I was going back and forth between the original. I was like, you want to know what I think? I think you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah.
4 hours from the fucking fun park you want to be.
Which is a great bit of acting, but this,
it's a tirade of not... really profane insults.
Yeah, they're PG-13 insults.
Up to sack of monkey shit. it doesn't really say, there's not a real swear word until the end.
Yeah, I know. And it's such a long list. Like, this memorizing that, because there's no way he improvised that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're so specific and weird, and like you say, they're like, substitutes for actual curses. There's no way he just improvised that. He had to memorize that.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So say what you will about Chevy Chase, and he was on pills when he did this Vacation movie, right?
Yes.
Or had he gone through a rehab already?
No, I bet he was on pills.
Did this come before Three Amigos or after?
I don't know.
Because I remember...
Was it after Three Amigos when he went off
pills?
Yeah,
and I remember when Three Amigos came out, the three of them... Martin Short, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase.
I know who the Three Amigos
hosted,
are, Todd.
But they hosted SNL. And in the monologue, they did a monologue together. And at one point, I remember Martin Short and Steve Martin flanking Chevy Chase and just throwing pills at him.
Oh, jeez.
Which I thought was really funny. And now that I think about it, it's probably really insensitive, but also probably driven by the fact that nobody likes Chevy Chase, even the people who pretend to.
Yeah. Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's
fantastic.
So here we are at the end of all things for Steve Skelton. Now this one is a two-pager.
Oh, I got a two-pager for you.
It's a two-pager, but it is big print.
Yeah, my print's not that big. I refer to that as my birthmark. On my 8th birthday, my father brought me a bulldog. A fat little bulldog. I named him Prince Henry Stout. He was strong. He would have chased my pet turkey. He would have chased a squirrel up the tree. I raised him. I trained him. I fed him. I grew him. I took care of him. I loved that dog. I loved that dog. More than anything in the world, I loved that dog. My father gave me a handful of cherry bombs and M80s and said, "You're going to train this dog to be a protector." So every Saturday afternoon, I got behind a little dummy that my dad built and tossed cherry bombs and M80s at the dog. Boom, boom! The dog was scared at first, but after a while, he got on the dummy. He got the dummy ripping apart. The head was off, shirt was gone. So 13 years old birthday party time got me a 12-gun shotgun. 12-gauge shotgun.
Sorry, typo. Sorry.
12-gauge shotgun. We're going hunting. I was so excited. We went out to the clearing in the woods. My dad laid his gun down, took my gun, laid it down, and said, son, today you're going to learn to control your emotions. You're going to do things that some men are not able and unwilling to do. Follow me. I followed my dad. We were running this clump of trees. There was a corral belt, and there was a Prince Henry Stout chained in the middle of the corral. My dad took out a pocket full of cherry bombs, put them in my hand, and said, get in the corral. Here's a lighter. I want you to light those cherry bombs and throw them at the prince. You're going to face manhood. You're going to fight that dog to the death. Is he going to kill you, or are you going to kill him? Now, he's on me. He's on me like flies on shit. I had no chance. I got my arm up in between his teeth on my neck. Wah! Down in the mud. Rolled over, roll over. Dogs fighting, biting, scratching, kicking. I'm screaming, crying, grabbing to run to get a stand-up with following my elbow on him. Here's his neck break. He's dead. He's not breathing. He's not biting. I'm covered up with blood. I stand up, wipe the blood off. I licked it. And my dad said, welcome to manhood. That's why this is a birthmark.
Wow. That's a
so monologue. Many typos in this one.
Actually, now that I think about it, the typos, sorry about that. But also, they're probably accurate, given if you see the actual monologue. You know what
it is?
Yeah.
It's Under Siege 2. Under Siege 1.
No. But you're in the right... You're thinking of the right guy, I think. Who's
well,
the
Gary
actor?
Busey.
Right, so it's not...
Oh, no, it's Gary Busey. Is Gary Busey from Lethal Weapon?
No.
Or is it... which Gary... I thought it was Prince Henry Stout. Wait a minute. What dumb movie... I gotta really narrow this down. What dumb movie was Gary Busey...
Here's another quote from the movie. This is not Gary Busey. This is the lead character's quote. Always check the barrel,
oh,
bitch.
Oh, shit. Oh, it's, that's Ice-T.
Yeah.
And it's, and F. Murray Abraham. And it's a Most Dangerous Game movie.
Yeah.
And the title. Yeah,
the game.
And the title is,
The game is in the title. If you play the game, what do you have to do? What's the object of the game?
To playing to win.
No.
To win. Playing
no.
To say, hey, guys.
If you're Ice-T. And you're the one being hunted in the game. What do you have to do to win the game?
Escape the game? Surviving the game.
There you
damn
go.
It. Yes.
Escape the game.
That's right. Surviving the game.
Yeah. That was great.
But that's like, I mean, the thing is like, in this, like, it took me a second to realize... Now, and this is what's actually written on the page, that the word crawl, K-R-A-A-L, was actually corral.
Corral.
So it's like, I'm reading, I'm like, is this Klingon for corral? Or
I was in a rush. I just pulled that off of IMDb. So I should have checked it more carefully.
Okay, so let me fold this one up, and this is your two-page.
I was just happy that anyone had taken the time to transpose I didn't have to.
Well, it's like, it's because the corral spelled crawl because they were, like, phonetically spelling Busey's pronunciation.
Right. Well, and it probably sounded like he said a 12-gun shotgun.
Yeah.
It probably sounded that way.
Well, yeah.
Because he's, like, drunk in the monologue.
Yeah, because it's Busey's 12-gun shotgun.
Yeah.
What does he say? 12-gun shotgun? Just type 12-gun shotgun.
He's really good in DC Cab.
All right, here's your two-pager. And this one was picked specifically because it's a classic film.
Mm-hmm.
Classic film.
Okay.
And, it is more relevant than ever today.
Okay.
And you will probably pick up on it.
All right. Here we go. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat, and we sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad. Worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we are living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it, my life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Sit up. Go to your windows. Open them and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change, but first you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell and say it, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. That's from Network.
That is from Network.
And it's so funny that you chose that because, it's horribly on point.
Yeah.
I looked at that monologue. I considered it. I was like, but that was when I was like, this is a good chance that he'll show up with that monologue. So I'm not going to do that one. That was fun. Well, that's our cold reading challenge. How do you feel like you did?
Oh, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you need to award me stars now.
Well, 4 stars for the first one.
All right.
I'm going to give you 5 stars for the second one.
Out of how many stars is this?
And I'm 24.
Oh, man.
But you average.
Real arbitrary number.
I would say you average like a 5-star reading, which
out
is
of
great.
24.
Which is great on a 5-star. Scale,
right.
Not as good on
the
24.
If I'm an Uber driver, but...
But to be fair, like, I'm really critical, and it's really hard to score well.
No, it's... Yeah, to be completely fair, you're unnecessarily critical and a jerk.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for listening to the Film Pigs Bacon Podcast Cold Reading Monologue Challenge. Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
Oh, I don't know. Did I get enough stars to have something to say before we go?
It's not about
out of 24.
I don't know why you're freaking out about this. I mean, the contest is over. Just move on with your life.
I have issues with your writing system. That's all I have to say.
Well, that's something that you can write a letter about, call your congressman. But it's not something to talk about now.
I'm mad as hell.
Thanks for listening. Thanks as always to Adam Blau for the wonderful music, and we'll see you next time here on The Film Pick.
Whee.